Greetings and welcome to the Freedom Fiends radio show and sometimes podcast, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural, wild, mountain west in the occupied states of America. This is Mr. Michael Dean talking about things and stuff. Man, we got a lot to talk about today. I think I'm going to start with giving some software recommendations here. So I am currently wiping and destroying an old computer of mine. I'm not actually destroying the computer. I'm wiping the hard drive and starting over with it because it's really old. And well, it was a fast computer when I got it like 5 years ago. I mean, it has, an i5 Pentium 3 or 5 or whatever it is. And it's a processor and it's got 16 gigs of RAM. Pretty fast little computer. It was at one time. I mean, I edited feature films on this. I edited, 1,000 episodes of this radio show on this. Did a lot on it. Wrote some books on it. But computers just get slower and slower and slower with time. And there's things you can do to make them faster. But, and if anyone's like, wait, I thought this was a libertarian show. Well, this is all about liberty because this is how you stay free. And what's it say in the Constitution that you have the right to be secure in your home and your papers? Well, the papers are now your computer. And if you ever had a right to be secure in your papers, you still have that right now that papers are zeros and ones. There's no reason you shouldn't. In the same way that if the First Amendment covered muskets, it also covers AR-15s, which it does, because the Constitution was written at a time when the right to bear arms was the right to bear arms that the government bears. The people had the right to bear the same thing that the government was bearing. And that plays out in, if you read the Anti-Federalist Papers or any of the writings by Jefferson or Madison or even Franklin. Don't take the things by, it's funny when people say, like, the Founding Fathers said, the Founding Fathers were a very diverse. They had diversity. They were a diverse group of white Christian landowning men. They weren't all the same. Some of them were skunks, and some of them believed in liberty. And Hamilton was a skunk, and Jefferson and Madison were kind of into liberty, and Sam Adams was very into liberty. So they're not, you can't really say the Founding Fathers believed, because they believed very different things, and they fought long and hard about not only what to put in the Constitution, but whether to even have a Constitution, because originally the good ones were more into the Articles of Confederation, which were much more liberty-oriented. And then they got watered down into the Constitution, and now nobody even respects the Constitution for the most part. But the idea that you have an inalienable right to be secure in what you write and that no government should be able to access it without a warrant is an inalienable right. You're born with it. And it's also a right that's written down in the Constitution. You know, that thing that the government completely ignores by scaring people with, but we need safety. You know, people that want safety, I'm paraphrasing, but it's something like people that want safety at the expense of freedom shall have neither. One of the Founding Fathers may have said that. I don't know. There's a lot of misattribution too, but it sounds good. I like it. But the thing is, you really can't depend on the government to any government anywhere in the world, anywhere throughout history. In the past, present, or future, every government is immoral. Every government takes a lot and doesn't give back. And mainly the problem is, even if they do give back, the problem is that everything is done non-consensually. You know, they just take it. They say, I'm going to tell you how it's going to be. You're going to give your taxes to me. You're going to give your rights to me. You know, they do what they want. So a good example is the NSA and the illegal, immoral data collection program that they've had. Since 9/11, but really since like the late 90s, there's some stuff that came out about room 222 or whatever it was, room 311. I forget. It was some room in a San Francisco data center of AT&T, I think. And it turned out that like they were sitting there, copying all the nascent internet and telephone records without warrants. And they do it so much more now. I mean, it's just every day. What is it? The Snowden leaks basically said, he basically said that given if he has someone's email address while sitting at his desk in the NSA, he can enter and read the computers and read all the emails and hear all the phone calls of anyone in America, including the President of the United States. So that's how insecure security is if you don't take precautions. So what I'm getting at is that if you really want to be secure in your papers, you have to defend that right yourself. So, you know, if you get a new computer, I'd recommend you download something called Derek's Boot and Nuke. Derek's Boot and Nuke is free and easy to use and wipes a hard drive with DDoS, with DOS, Department of Defense, DOD level encryption overwriting. First of all, computers are something you should never buy used because there could be hidden files on there that could get you in trouble, and it's not worth the little bit of money you save to get a used computer unless you wipe it with Derek's Boot and Nuke as soon as you get it. And the same with any hard drives, thumb drives, anything, any storage device you get should be wiped. And then I install Linux over that, which is also free and is more secure than Windows in a lot of ways, but it's not entirely secure. You know, it's people have this misconception that, oh, I use Linux, I'm secure. Well, there's ways to get into a Linux computer remotely too, but not as neatly and easily as with Windows or Mac. Both of those are beautiful walled prisons. What is it they said about Steve Jobs? Steve Jobs made jail cool. Yeah. So yeah, I'm wiping this old computer for partially because it's gotten really, really slow. And you know, there are things you can do. You can defrag, which you really don't have to do much on Windows anymore. And it was a Windows computer. It's going to become a Linux computer. But here's the thing: I believe in having multiple computers too, and having them all encrypted. First of all, if they're all encrypted with actual encryption, I'm not talking about the stuff that comes with Microsoft where you enter a password. You know, the Microsoft password is, it's like having one of those little tiny locks like teenage girls use on their diaries. It's like locking a house with that. The way I found that out in about 1997 when I bought a computer at Circuit City. Took it home and there was like a malfunction in it, like out of the box, brand new. And that was more common back then. Like people, you know, manufacturing has gotten better. But occasionally, you know, with mass producing, you do get something that doesn't work right out of the box. It was basically this computer was just heating up and shutting down over and over and over. But it didn't start doing that at first until I'd put a bunch of stuff on it, you know, trying to set it up. And so I took it back to Circuit City the next day, and I'd put a password on it, and I'd forgotten it. And the guy at Circuit City pulled this USB drive out of his pocket, stuck it in the computer's USB port, hit a couple keys, and bypassed my password. So yeah, those Windows passwords and the Mac passwords are not secure. I think Mac has full disk encryption, but they say they don't have a backdoor, but I'm amazed if they don't. You know, I'm wondering if that whole thing of, you know, demanding that Apple decrypt that iPhone that belonged to the terrorists, the people that shot up the Muslim couple that shot up the place they worked for the government in California. They went to a picnic, company picnic, government company picnic, and killed everybody. Yeah, remember that? It's like last year, maybe. The Apple said they wouldn't decrypt it. They said they could not decrypt it and would not decrypt it. And it was a huge thing. Like, the president was yelling at Apple, calling them terrorists, tweeting at them. Everybody was upset. Real security people were saying, hey, I'm glad Apple's not doing this because, and that's a tough slippery, that's a tough slope. It's like, but these are terrorists. We might save more lives if Apple finds a way to decrypt this phone. But they always use the worst examples as theater. You know, they use the guy with child pornography to try the new thing, the new law. Well, they have a law where, like, they kept someone in prison after their, you know, 10-year sentence was up because a psychiatrist in the jail believed they might still be dangerous. Well, that's a violation of the Constitution. And people say, well, we got to have exceptions. No, I mean, your inalienable rights, if you believe you have inalienable rights, they should be inalienable. And, you know, if they want to keep that guy in prison, they need to recharge him with something else. And I'm not saying there wasn't something legitimate they could recharge him with. But, you know, they do the slippery slope. They do the camel's nose under the tent. They take an inch, get a mile. You know, they do that first to the child pornographer. And everyone says, oh, of course. Or it was a child molester they did that with. And everyone says, of course, he's dangerous. And then next they do it with a drug dealer. Then they do it with a drug user. And then they do it with the guy that forgot to mow his lawn and got a ticket and didn't pay it. You know, they get more and more and more encroaching. And people have to defend, people who believe in liberty defend the undefendable. And Apple pretended to defend the undefendable. They said, we will not do this for the FBI. We will not crack this iPhone and give you the data that's on it. And actually the government ended up paying a private hacker to do it. And it was actually like the way they were able to do it was because it's an older version of Apple and it had a problem. It had a security hole in it. You know, it supposedly couldn't be done with the new one. But I kind of wonder if that was security theater, because Apple all day, every day, all those companies, a lot of those companies, big companies, give information to law enforcement, even without a warrant. And it's not hard to get a warrant. I mean, warrants are rubber stamped these days, post 9/11. But, you know, I think Apple gives the Chinese government all the information they want on their users. Over in China, we're basically now, the Borg is such, the data collection is such, the soft tyranny is such that instead of just throwing everybody in a gulag, like they literally do in China, you know, if you criticize the government in China, you often end up in a prison camp, and so does your family if you're severe enough. I mean, for things I've said on this show already today, if I were in China saying it about the Chinese government, I would be in trouble. I don't know if I'd be disappeared in the night, but I would definitely be in trouble. There was a journalist in China recently who criticized the government, like not even as much as I'm criticizing all governments here, but he was forced to apologize at the threat of going to jail. He apologized and they said it wasn't a sincere apology, and now he can't travel. The Chinese government won't let his kid go to private school. Think about that. Private schools are private. Here, they should be. But in China, the government can tell you can't send your kid to a private school, and that guy can't travel. He's not allowed, you know, like they took away some rights, basically, because he didn't apologize for criticizing the government as thoroughly as we do, as they wanted him to. And, you know, I think free speech is the biggest right we still have in America, because what I'm doing, first of all, in a lot of countries, this would get you put in jail. Second of all, in countries where it would not get you put in jail, there's no way in heck that this would be on commercial syndicated national radio. Just doesn't happen. You know, you could probably say some of this stuff in England or Scandinavia. Although actually the thing I said about the Muslim shooters, I didn't even say, oh, those Muslims are bad. They're, you know, I said like these people were Muslims who shot this place up. Saying that without more explanation might be a hate crime in England or Australia. I am not a fan of Islam. I'm not really a fan of religion in general, but I think that Islam has a lot of practitioners who are dangerous. You know, I mean, people say like, the answer is always, well, Christianity, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I didn't say that. And that's a false equivalency. You know, like whenever I criticize Islam, people always bring up things that people have done in the name of Christianity. They rarely bring up the things that has been done in the name of Judaism, but you know, like killing Palestinian, peaceful Palestinian protesters standing at the border with signs after their houses have been bulldozed. And that's like me kind of defending people who happen to be Muslim. But, you know, people always go to Christianity because it's the prevailing Western religion. in Western civilization. And people, a lot of people don't like Western civilization, and they'll sit and complain on their iPhones, which are the pinnacle of capitalism and Western civilization, and they'll complain about capitalism, Western civilization, and there are modern Muslims. There are many Muslims who are modern people who don't believe in superstitions outside their religion, who believe in technology, who believe in science. But a lot of them are kind of living in like the 10th century. A lot of them are medieval too. And, you know, people always say, well, Christians, blah, 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 blah. Here's the thing, like Christians who don't, you know, extreme Christians try to pass laws that you can't look at dirty pictures. Extreme Muslims throw you off of a roof for looking at dirty pictures. So there's a lot of Stone Age stuff going on with Islam, and it's very unpopular to criticize this, even with fellow libertarians. There's a lot of people who are like, you got it. And you know, there's weird things that come down to like, oh, borders, for instance. Like, I'm not a fan of borders, but I'm also not a fan of open borders as they stand now. And I mean, in a purely libertarian world, if everybody respected the non-aggression principle and didn't initiate aggression, open borders would be fine. But that would also include no welfare state. I'm less concerned about those people are coming to take our money, because, I mean, Americans do that all the time. I mean, I live in the whitest state in America, and I stand in line in Walmart behind people who are paying with food stamps, who are 21 years old, who have three kids, and the woman's pregnant. My wife actually told some of those people, if you can't breed them, don't feed them. And like, the guy looked like he was going to punch her, and some cowboy, sensible cowboy behind her stepped in and said, the lady's right. I think that's awesome. I wasn't there, but that's pretty fun. So I'm not criticizing the existence of Islam, but I am, you know, I said something in passing of those terrorists, the Muslim terrorists who shot up their work in California, the couple. That would get you in trouble in Germany. Here's the thing, like Germany was in a lot of countries, but Germany, because of Hitler, Germany has done a 180, where Hitler had completely sealed borders, kicked out everyone he didn't like, killed a bunch of people he didn't like. And he didn't just kill Jews, and he did kick people out. There were people that left before they got killed. And he killed mostly Jews, but he also killed blacks, homosexuals, intellectuals, dissidents. Like, I'm a straight white male from a Christian background, and I would, with blue eyes and blonde hair, and I would have been killed in Nazi Germany, because I talk openly about not liking fascists, about not liking governments, you know, about not liking people telling everyone what to do. And, you know, the answer is always, if you don't like it, move to Somalia. Well, Somalia has a government, and it's a shadow puppet government placed there by the United States government. And the idea of, if you don't like it, move, is a specious argument, because if you don't like government, move, you're always moving to somewhere with a government. There's the only places on this planet where you can be where there's no government are zones that you create, like in your home, or on the internet by doing things like wiping your computer with DBAN, Derek's Boot and Nuke, and then installing Linux and then keeping Linux up to date. And also, like, the idea I've said of like having different computers for different things. Like, if you want to have a secure conversation, there are things you could download to do that. Like, what are the apps? Signal is one. There's an app called Signal, S-I-G-N-A-L. And there's an app called WhatsApp. And those are both free apps that allow you to do text and phone calls encrypted, which is bizarre, because that's technology that, like, in the 70s, only governments had, and it took a room full of equipment, or at least a suitcase worth $500,000. And a scientist to run it. And now the average person can do it. I don't like the fact that those have to have a phone number connected to them. And I don't like the fact that they don't by default disappear the messages. There are other things that do that, that disappear the messages. But those are better than talking on an open phone call. You know, I can't believe the stupid non-violent crimes with no victim that people are sitting in jail from constantly because they talked over an open phone line. But the thing is, if you want to be secure in your papers, your person and papers and house, you have to be smart about it. Like, you don't want to use your phone that has 20, 40 other apps on it, including like Angry Squirrels or whatever you download just because you got a link to it, and has Facebook and has Twitter. You don't want to use that phone for your encrypted conversations, because first of all, the phone number on it ties you to everything else on there. Second of all, the more apps you put on a phone or programs you put on a computer, the more chance you have of something with a backdoor. And I use antivirus software, but it doesn't stop everything. And I will say this, I have nothing to hide, and I take all these precautions just as a statement, or because if anything that we're doing now, we people do now, that's legal becomes illegal. You don't want a record of that. And a good example is guns. You should own guns privately. You shouldn't put pictures of your guns on Facebook. That's basically how you register them. In Wyoming, you don't have to register guns, but if you're putting a picture of your gun on the internet, you've basically registered it, because the government now has a picture of you with that gun, So I kind of wonder if that thing with the government trying to make Apple secure that phone, and Apple making a proud stand of, no, we believe in the privacy of our users, I wonder if that was an orchestrated play, like a scripted play by the government with Apple's cooperation. It certainly would make people trust Apple more, and it'd be pretty easy to do as a play. Because they don't respect privacy. I don't think that they gather a lot of data. Their business is data. Everyone's business is data. Data's worth money now. Another thing too is, if you've ever seen a congressman totally flip-flop on something and you don't understand why, like take a strong stance on something and then when it comes time to vote, like immediately vote differently, or the next time there's a vote on it, vote differently. I'm wondering too, like, what the government has on them, Because the shadow government of the NSA and parts of the FBI and parts of the DEA, but mainly the NSA, and probably things we haven't even heard of that are more secret than the NSA. If Edward Snowden said with authority that when he worked at the NSA, with an email address, he could read the private conversations of the President of the United States, what do you think the NSA has on people like that? And the shadow government.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important, because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agoristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agorist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agristhosting.com.
I mean, it sounds like a conspiracy when you say it, but it's obvious there's a shadow government. There's been one going way back. It involves the military-industrial complex. Basically, it involves the people in government with security clearances who don't care who the president is. Think about that. A lot of people in government have a lot of stake in who the president is, because it affects whether their job's going to exist. It affects whether they're going to get funding. But the people that don't care who the president is have more power than those other people. The people that will always be there will always get massive funding. The military, the FBI, the DEA, the NSA, the CIA, all of those people will always get funding. And probably, like I say, those could be covers for groups that may not even have names that are far more secret. And, these people aren't, when you think of like that kind of espionage, it's generally not the covert action of the people like slipping into the Soviet Union and shooting a pellet of ricin from an umbrella into someone's back and James Bond stuff like that. It's generally people that probably live in your town. Their kids play soccer with your kids. They're normal Joes. They don't look, like Jason Bourne. They look like ordinary people. A lot of it's done, and there are people that, you know, there are still people killed illegally by every country. But more and more, it's kind of doing what China's doing, you know, where it's like, it's less mess to not kill you. It's more, it behooves them more to just watch you quietly and then maybe punish you publicly in some way. Like, I remember I asked, we had the guy who invented the printable gun on here, Cody Wilson. Actually, the first time he was ever interviewed, I interviewed him. It was before the printable gun existed, when it was just an idea. But after, we've interviewed him then, I interviewed him then, but then also interviewed him after that a few times. And one of the very poignant things he said, and this is a guy who has been denounced by name on the floor of Congress by U.S. congressmen. I think that's an honor. I'm jealous of him for that. But I mean, that's success as an activist. And he's a good guy, and he's really smart, and he believes in rights no matter what. Like, for instance, one of the things he's doing now is he's doing a it's kind of like a PayPal type service that's for people who've been kicked off PayPal. And most of his clients are alt-right people and even Nazis. He's not a Nazi, but he basically believes anybody should have the right to do commerce. So he made a site for people. It's called Hatreon, like Patreon, but with an H, Hatreon. And I don't think he even hates, but he just, you know, he believes everyone, he believes in defending the undefendable, which is the true meaning of liberty. If you really believe in liberty, you should defend anyone who is speaking their mind. I really think you should. I think there should be no limits on free speech. I actually tried to make an internet service that I couldn't get funding for, and I'm not a programmer, so I couldn't just make it. But it was part of the pitch of it was, we want to make something so uncensorable, if people say horrible things about us, we cannot even delete it. That's free speech to me. And he said something to the effect, Cody Wilson said something to the effect of, I asked him, you know, what do you think is the future with liberty? And he said, I think things are going to become more and more and more free because of technology and because of more people waking up to the idea of freedom. But I think occasionally the powers that be are going to punish a person here and there, to make an example, very hard. Like, for instance, the guy who ran the Silk Road. I mean, he got four life prison terms. Four life terms in prison without parole. How does that work? Do you die and they keep you in prison? I mean, it's so ridiculous. Four life terms. But he didn't kill anybody. You know, he facilitated private one-to-one communication and blocked the government out of it. And that, for that crime, he got four life terms. They actually made up something. Well, they said something to the effect of that he was trying to hire someone to kill somebody that had wronged him. The proof on that is really tenuous, including the fact that one of the FBI infiltrators who was helping run that site, the Silk Road, had full access to it and could basically do anything on the site he wanted, including forge emails. So that's possible. And then one of the two people that were leading that charge ended up stealing millions of dollars worth of Bitcoin. And then he went to jail and he was arrested for that while that trial was still going on. But the judge wouldn't let the jury hear that. The judge wouldn't let the jury hear. Don't you think these are two important facts in a case that the guy running this website that enabled person-to-person drug sales anonymously, don't you think that it would be important information to tell the jury that, A, one of the two people responsible for bringing him down is currently under arrest for stealing millions of dollars of the evidence, and two, one of the people that was responsible for taking him down had full access to the site, including the ability to overwrite anything and forge anything he wanted to say anything, you know? And there's supposedly this instant message speech or conversation. It was supposed to be between the guy who's in jail, the guy who's in prison for four life terms, the guy who's serving more time than Pablo Escobar, who blew up an airplane full of people, who was charged with more than Escobar ever was. Yeah. Ross Ulbricht, the guy who ran the Silk Road or co-ran the Silk Road. He's in jail for 4 life terms, and there's supposedly, like, there's a transcript that the FBI has published that's supposed to be a conversation between Ross and some Hell's Angel, and Ross was supposedly negotiating with the Hell's Angel to kill some guy that had threatened to expose Ross for, you know, blackmailed him. It looks like fiction to me. I mean, it looks like it was written. It doesn't look real. It doesn't look like a back and forth. It looks like someone wrote it and edited it and made it sound better. And, you know, it's not the way people talk. But even if it is real, why didn't they charge him for it? And you could say, well, because they gave him 4 life terms for running a website, but where people, you know, peacefully sold private property between them that, you know, Big Pharma has determined shouldn't be able to be done without them getting a cut. But even if it was, why didn't they charge him with that? They should have charged him with that if it was real. I think they didn't charge him with that because they didn't want too much examination on it and too much inquiry in a court of law with record being written down. I think they didn't want too much inquiry as to the chain of custody of where this came from, because there was a lot of dirty dealings in this. We actually had Ross Ulbricht's mother, Lynn Ulbricht, on this show once, maybe twice. I think twice. She's a great lady. And a lot of times people are like, my son is an angel. He's an angel. He never could have done this. You know, like when horrible crimes are committed and the mother's always like, why didn't the police shoot him in the leg? You know, they don't understand how self-defense works, that everyone is trained to shoot for center mass, but no one was shot in this. There was no violence in this. There was free trade between individuals that cut out the government and cut out Big Pharma and, you know, actually made, like, people are going to take drugs. There's always going to be drug use. I don't take drugs. I used to. I quit in 1994. I've been clean and sober since then. Haven't even had a drink. The road gets more narrow. I don't even smoke cigarettes now. I drink a lot of coffee. But, I believe that she knew her son well, and she does not deny that he ran this website, but she is convinced that he didn't try to have someone killed. She's convinced that that was a fabrication. And, you know, she doesn't approve of what he did. You know, she's not condoning that he was enabling the selling of drugs. He never actually sold drugs either. He was letting people talk to each other and do it, which actually makes the drug selling a lot safer. And he had a reputation system. And the government didn't like this because the government wants, and they went after him so hard. They went after him so much harder than they go after drug dealers. Like they, you know, in Vaudeville, they cherry picked the right jury. They the federal government doesn't take chances. They don't roll the dice. They have like a 96% conviction rate. State courts have like, I don't know, a 60% conviction rate. The state will roll the dice on, well, maybe this won't work. But more often what they do is, even when they think they can't get a conviction in a court of law, they threaten the person with 10 felonies. And the person says, please, I'll take your plea, and pleads to one felony, you know, and gets 4 years instead of 50 years. That's what they do, which is really immoral when you think about it for nonviolent crimes. I believe there should be a justice system. In my free market, voluntarist world, there would be a justice system. It's pretty much all I could see a government doing. And there's actually ways courts could be done privately. Although I kind of agree with Boston Tea Party, who's a minarchist instead of an anarchist, because he says that courts are the one thing, and police, like not even police, but like bailiffs or marshals for the courts are the one thing that he thinks would have to exist in a totally voluntary society, because he has an interesting point of, if all courts were voluntary, you know, where like people had a beef and they'd agree, okay, we're going to go to this arbiter, he's got a good rating of being honest and we'll both pay it and blah, blah, blah. What happens when one person wants to take another person to court for a violent offense or for stealing, and the other person says, no, get off my property, and points a gun at the marshals? You know, that's a stalemate that Boston says requires a tiny, tiny government. I would love no government, but I'd be really happy with a government where that's all it did, you know, was try people for violent crimes or crimes of theft and didn't bother with people with things that aren't violent crimes. You know, the reason that violent crimes, so many of them are illegal and on the books and enforced, it's basically a jobs program for lawyers, police, prosecutors, judges, secretaries, paralegals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, you know, without the nonviolent crimes being on the books, you know, they'd have to go after actual criminals. And actual criminals are harder to go after because they're violent and some of them are smart. A lot of them are not smart, but some of them are very smart. You know, and even with, like, an example is with guns. Like, they'd rather go after the dentist who has a collection of rare antique guns and has a lot of money and has property and owns a nice house and owns nice cars and has stocks and bonds in the bank. They'd rather go after that guy who's not committing any crime go after him because he has, you know, 7-round mags in a 6-round mag state. They'd rather go after that guy than go after the gangbanger who's, like, murdering people left and right. The reason is because the gangbanger is going to shoot back. The dentist probably isn't. And the dentist has more stuff to steal, you know? They go after the people with money. Now, a lot of people with no money end up falling through the cracks and ending up in jail. Most people in jail have no money. But really, like, the victimless crimes are there to put people through the grist mill, to grind them down and coerce them into giving money to the system, you know, in the form of the judge, the prosecutor, like justifying the existence of the prosecutor. Now, I am not a sovereign citizen. I want to make that clear. And I want to talk a little about sovereign citizens. Sovereign citizens is kind of it's kind of like founding fathers. It's a catch-all phrase for a bunch of people that don't always believe the same thing. But sovereign citizens, which I think is kind of an oxymoron, like sovereign or citizen, you're one or the other. But sovereign citizens are people who have a variety of beliefs that basically boil down to government is immoral. Now that I believe. And then the part I don't believe is their next thing of, like, by writing down magic words, the government doesn't apply to you, you know, like you can be outside of it and write your own bills on your own banknotes on an account they believe exists that was put there when you're born. And, you know, putting things in all caps has more meaning than something, less meaning than something else, or a different meaning. And they call it a tombstone name, you know, like how the government always puts your name in all caps. A lot of them won't capitalize those things like that when they write, or they will capitalize other things. And, use certain phrases. Really, the only magic words with the police are, am I being detained? If not, am I free to go? And then, if you are detained, the next words are, I want an attorney and I won't speak until then. Those are the only magic words. Anything else that someone tells you are not magic words. And sovereign citizens will do things like, they often represent themselves in court, which is always a bad idea. They will often try to baffle the court with demanding that the court say what their jurisdiction is and then claim, I'm not a citizen of your state, I am a free man, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That stuff should work. Now, this is where I differ from the mainstream. The mainstream is like, those people are crazy and their ideas are all crazy. I don't think the ideas are crazy. I don't think it's crazy that you should be able to represent yourself and get a fair trial. I don't think it's crazy that you should be able to challenge the court on their jurisdiction and their right to hold you. But I'm a realist and I know that that stuff doesn't usually work. There are videos of it working, but it's usually on small things like traffic violations. It's almost never on felonies. I talked to a guy who was counseled by I'd call him a jailhouse lawyer. He's a guy without a legal degree who gives bad advice to people, who's actually in prison now, who was headed to prison. Like he was facing 4 months in prison for a dispute with a neighbor or 4 months in jail. He took the advice of this sovereign attorney type fella and ended up serving 3 or 4 years in jail, in prison, because, you know, he did things like stand up and challenge the judge and say, what is your, why do you think you have jurisdiction? Like, that stuff should work, but it just irritates people who have the right to destroy your life. The legal fiction. So I'm a realist. I believe that there should be no government anywhere. But there is a government. That's the difference between me and a lot of people. And that doesn't mean that I think you should bow to the man in the white robe, the black robe, but you kind of have to, at least to, everything you do involving the courts should involve you trying to have the least suffering possible. I really don't know if it's the place for, activism. Now, jury nullification is an interesting thought that if you want to learn more about, go to FIJA.org. That's Fully Informed Jury Association.org. That might be the last place where there's actually room to be an activist in court. I don't know. I don't do it. I haven't been in court in a long time. I can't really be a juror because I have a lot of health issues where I'd need to bring in many oxygen bottles to make it through a day. And it just wouldn't work well for me. But I believe that government authority is immoral, but I don't believe I can enforce that with magic words like sovereigns do. Sovereign citizen belief is very attractive to a lot of people. And they will defend it like they're defending their mother because they think they've found some magic loophole that no one else knows about. And courts tend to be harder on people that try to do those things. And when people do things like, try to put a lien on some judge's property, they go down and like file something at the county clerk's office in magic letters. That stuff never works. And it ends up making that judge want to destroy you for the rest of your life. And probably every police officer that comes in contact with knowing about that case and those kind of stuff ends up in the paper. Basically, you want to be invisible to the police. Even if you're a law-abiding, tax-paying citizen, you are still a target for the police. You can be run through the grist, especially if you have money. You know, keep your car. Another thing is sovereigns often don't register their cars. They print out like right to travel license plates that they make themselves. That's the quickest way to end up in jail. It's one of the quickest ways because those plates in. I mean, God bless them for their guts, you know, for doing that. I think it's a gutsy thing, but I'd never do it. It's basically probable cause. It's inviting a police officer to pull you over. And when most police officers or a lot of police officers pull you over, their goal is to put you in jail because they have quotas. Even if the quotas aren't written, cops that don't arrest people don't stay cops long. So they need to arrest people. And everything they ask you is leading towards, can I search your car? Can I get into your stuff? Can I find a reason to arrest you? You know, there's a book you should read called You and the Police by Boston Tea Party. There's another book you should read called Arrest Proof Yourself. Both are available on Amazon. Highly recommend them. So I'm not a sovereign, but I believe that what they believe should work, but it doesn't. And I'm a libertarian, not a Libertarian Party member. It's kind of funny how a lot of times when you say libertarian, people think you are a member of the Libertarian Party. That is a small percentage of people who are libertarian. Probably 10% of people who consider themselves libertarians are members of the Libertarian Party. First of all, because a lot of libertarians have kind of gone, a lot of people say off the deep end, but I say gone more toward the truth of realizing that voting is A, immoral, B, only encourages them, and C, doesn't change anything. And like the saying says, if voting changed anything, it'd be illegal. And then there are libertarians who believe in voting, but just think even with the Libertarian Party, there's no one to vote for. You know, even if you believe, you know, I don't think it's, if you believe in voting, I don't think it's throwing away a vote to vote Libertarian Party, because in most states, there's about 4 or 5 states where your vote counts, you know, swing states, Ohio, Florida, maybe couple others. Like in Wyoming, if I vote, no matter how I vote, the Republican's going to win. In California, no matter how I vote, the Democrats can win because it's a winner-take-all system. And there are people that want to, like, change that, like Chris Novoselic from Nirvana. We had him on this show, and he talked about changing it to more like England, where, you know, the minority parties have representation in Congress, but or in their parliament. But I think that's just I think trying to fix government is like trying to improve government is like trying to improve cancer. I think it can't be done, you know. Oh, I did forget to mention when I was talking earlier about wiping a computer and putting, you know, with Derek's boot and nuke DBAN and replacing it with Linux. I didn't mention, I think this was implied, but maybe not to a lot of people. I did back up the things that I want onto an external drive, which I'm going to put onto the new computer, which I'm also going to encrypt. The encryption program I recommend is called VeraCrypt, V-E-R-A-C-R-Y-P-T. And it is it's an update on an old program called whatever it was. I can't remember what it was, but if the government has a backdoor to this, they're doing a better job of hiding it than they did with the political theater of possibly working with Apple to say Apple is unbreakable encryption, because there is a guy sitting in jail because he wouldn't decrypt a computer that's in some other country, in a country where they can put you in jail for using encryption. Think about that. Think about the insane there. And there's people that want to do that here. Joe Biden wanted to do that. Joe Biden had a bill in when he was in Congress in the 90s, early internet, where he wanted to make it illegal to use encryption that did not have a backdoor. That's crazy. That's crazy talk. And, you know, people say, like, well, how would police do their jobs if we don't have a backdoor? And I'm like, well, by doing police work instead of sitting at a computer and typing, you know, actually the way they used to do it, which they still do. I mean, some still do. You know, I like the idea of cops that solve murders. I think that's good. I think that the manpower that is put to keeping people from smoking pot, which is far safer than cigarettes and alcohol, the manpower that is put just to that drug alone, if that were all diverted to stopping actual crimes, like, I think most murders would be solved. I think there wouldn't be a backlog of 5 years of rape kits in some police station. The DA and the old DA in my town in Wyoming actually said in the newspaper like 5 years ago that they don't prosecute rapes, you know, at all. And he got so much backlash for that that they ended up prosecuting that guy they called the Craigslist rapist, which was actually like not even rape. It was like somebody tricked somebody else into raping somebody, saying posting as the woman, pretending to be. It was stupid. It was criminally stupid what the guy did, but it probably wouldn't pass, you know, the test of what rape is actually. But prosecutors can do that. They can railroad people. They can say, oh, look at this horrible thing. We must, you know, a prosecutor that like before said, oh, we don't have time to prosecute rapes. We don't do that in this county. You know, and then like going 180 degrees in the other direction, destroying the life of somebody that, you know, probably didn't knowingly do anything. Yeah, that's government. You know, really in a world of justice, the amount of manpower that's used to track down victimless crimes that aren't really crimes, like the amount of manpower that's put to that, if that were put to solving actual crimes, like pretty much no murderers would go free. A lot of murders go free. A lot of murders go unsolved, especially gang murders, because they're smart about it. You know, they'll do things like fly somebody in from out of town, have them stay in a town 2 weeks, kill somebody, stay in town two more weeks, and then leave town. And it's like untraceable gun, untraceable bullet, person nobody knows, you know, and they don't stay at a hotel. They stay at other gang members or stay with safe houses of gang members' families that aren't under scrutiny. I mean, murders where people kill someone in their family or the drug dealer that they're trying to rip off in their neighborhood that they've been to 1,000 times and they've called them on their phone 20 times. Like those murders are solved. But another thing I'd like to see too is restitution. You know, like when somebody shoots into somebody's house, which is attempted murder, you know, and they go to prison rightfully, they go to prison for 20 years. I think I'd like to see it instead where like the government forces them to be the victim's slave for 10 years. You know, the government forces them to work and pay off, you know, to pay them money. It doesn't make any restitution when somebody aggresses against you the government catches them, throws them in jail at taxpayer expense, and the person who is wronged, I mean, they can think, yeah, there's justice, he's in jail, but, you know, not really. There's no financial justice. There's no righting of the wrong. There's no amends. You know, the word amends means to mend. That's what real restitution is, and that doesn't exist. So let's see. So I'm a libertarian voluntarist. Voluntarist is someone who believes that all transactions should be voluntary. And think about in a given day how many transactions and interactions are not voluntary. Like that security theater they have in airports with the TSA, that like the FBI has actually tested them. Like the FBI will try to just have someone sneak a gun on and the TSA misses it most of the time. It's security theater. You know, it's a jobs program and it makes people feel good about being on an airplane. And it's kind of, I think it's just testing the waters of how much people will put up with too. There was a guy who actually had a campaign about 5 years ago called Do Not Fly. I think it was donotfly.com. And Oprah actually called him a terrorist, said people telling people not to fly is terrorism. That's insane. That is, telling people not to fly is telling people that they have voluntary choices and they can do what they want. But it's going to get to the point where driving is probably like the TSA. You know, it is now if you're within 100 miles of any of the U.S. borders around the edges. You know, people in Mexico, people in El Paso get pulled over all the time and searched without warrants because the Border Patrol does it. They have the supposed right to do that post on. So I'm not a sovereign citizen, but I believe everything that they believe, most of what they believe should be the way it is, but I know it's not.
Hey, I saw your t-shirt from across the room. That's pretty cool.
Thanks. I looked all over for t-shirts with designs and sayings that define my unique taste, and I finally found it.
Who makes them?
Wormshirts.com.
Wormshirts.com?
Yeah, Wormshirts.com.
That's weird. Why'd they call it Wormshirts.com?
Probably because Wormshirts.com is easy to remember. Worm, like the critter that crawls on the ground, and shirts, like what they are, t-shirts.
Wormshirts.com. Cool. Do they make them for women?
Yeah, they have men's, women's, and children's styles, a bunch of colors, and all sizes, and they're quality cotton shirts.
I'll look up Wormshirts.com right now on my phone and check it out. Wow, they have lots of designs. I've never seen any shirts like these.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Hey, let's get out of here. We'll go over to my place and I'll order some shirts on Wormshirts.com. Then when they arrive, I'll try them on for you.
Worms!
That's Wormshirts.com.
And I'm a libertarian, but I'm not a left libertarian. You know, a lot of people, a lot of my friends, even some of the hosts on the show, left libertarians, which basically means they will defend like they're defending their mother, ideas like there shouldn't be any borders. Now, as I said, in an ideal world, there wouldn't be borders. But since there is a government and since there is a welfare, and I said before, like, I kind of don't like that people can come here and just get on welfare, you know, like can make as much money as I did when I was working 40 hours a week, you know, without working. I don't like that. But what I don't like more is that those people will all vote Democrat and will all vote in bad policies. You know, it's kind of like how I don't really care who the president is, except as far as he can nominate Supreme Court judges, because Supreme Court judges have a lot more effect on the world and for a lot longer than a president. I don't really like Trump, but I'm kind of amused by Trump because liberals are like setting their hair on fire figuratively about him. Just like everything he does, just like De Niro, some Robert De Niro, somebody I used to respect, like saying at some awards ceremony, like turning it into political theater, as they always do, and saying F Trump. You know, he said, I used to say down with Trump. Now I say F Trump, you know, the thing I can't say on the air. You know, that it's funny that you can't say those things on the air because the president talks like that now. But I kind of liked Trump's response to De Niro. He said something like, he tweeted something like, Robert De Niro, a very low IQ individual, has taken too many blows to the head by actual boxers in movies. I think he may be punch drunk. That was a classy response, man. And I just, like, I've lost friends over that I don't hate Trump. I don't like the man. He's better than Hillary, though. So left libertarians don't care who's in office. And like I said, you know, both sides are equally abhorrent. They both want to take your rights. But I don't know, man. Liberals seem to have more hypocrisy to me. They seem to have more hate, too, you know. They seem to want to destroy the lives of people they disagree with, whereas conservatives are often like, I don't like those people. Although conservatives destroy the life of people they don't like by allowing governments to do things like maintain, you know, anti-drug laws. You know, interestingly, on this show a couple weeks ago, I said, you know, if Trump really wanted to win hearts and minds, he could do this with a stroke of a pen. He could legalize pot federally. I said that, and I'd have no inclination he was going to do that. And then he said something to a reporter along the lines of that he was considering that. I mean, I'm not saying I'm brilliant or can tell the future or Trump reads my tweets or anything, but or listens to this show. He does not. But yeah, I do believe that was interesting that I said that. And then he said he was considering it. I think he should. I think it's immoral to throw people in prison for something that has no enemy. And over 50% of the nation now believes that pot should be decriminalized, if not legalized completely, you know. It's interesting. Yeah. Hey, I want to mention another software tool that can help make you more free, other than encrypting your drives and wiping them before you do, which is something called Cell 411, made by a friend of ours named Virgil Viduva, who is he is the American dream. He's an immigrant who came here legally in, I think, the 70s or 80s. I don't know. He came here when he was a teenager from communist Romania and came to America with $100. His dad sold the piano to get a boat ticket and $100. And Virgil came here with $100 in his pocket, and he's now a multimillionaire from smart investing. So the guy walks his talk. You know, a lot of people talk about, like, well, we need to have free markets, and this guy has, like, mastered the free market. But he does things that don't make a lot of money too, that really just kind of help the world. And one is I don't know if it makes a lot of money or not, but I know that he made his money from investing, smart investing, cryptocurrencies. And he's very helpful with people about it. Like, he's helped, you know, people I know contact him and want help. Interestingly, though, he says that when Bitcoin was almost $20,000, everyone wanted to talk to him about how to buy it. And then when Bitcoin went down to $5,000, no one wanted to talk to him, which is the opposite, because you should be asking advice on how to buy low, not buy high. But, you know, people are sheep. People don't understand markets, which is why a lot of them are poor. But he makes this thing that's really good called Cell 411, which is a free app for Android and iPhone that you can get on the respective stores for those. Cell 411 allows you to set up, it's kind of, I call it private security for poor people. You don't have to be poor to use it. But you know how, like, rich people that always want to take your guns, they're like, no one should have guns, but they're surrounded by people with guns, you know. They have people they can call with a buzzer, and there's, you know, private police there. It's basically not police, but, like, you can call someone you trust to a situation with the push of a button. You can predefine cells of friends, family, whatever, someone that would that lives near you that would come in an emergency, and you can press a button and it'll send your GPS coordinates to them, turn-by-turn directions to them, and if you want, record audio and video, stream it to them live, and save the audio and video on the Cell 411 servers in case your phone gets destroyed or taken. Yeah, so Cell 411 is good. I want to talk about being polite. Virgil's a very polite guy. I mean, he does not suffer idiots, but, you know, people that are good people, he's very polite to, and I like that in a person, and I can't stress enough how valuable it is to people who want to make their mark in the world and want to make money in the world or want to get an idea out in the world or anything like that, how important it is to be polite to people that help you and to thank people that help you. I do a lot of things for a lot of people and don't always get thanked. My wife and I recently gave some gifts to a family member that were worth a lot of money. I mean, it was like about $1,000 worth of musical equipment. Never got thanked. It's been over a month. Never got thanked. I mean, what is that? Who does that? I mean, yeah, it's a young person, but who does that? You know, who doesn't learn that? And if you haven't learned that, you should learn it. You should thank somebody for any time they do something for you. Some people do things like, you know, if someone says, yeah, what do you want? I'm getting you a present. Okay, I ordered the present. It's going to come to you. And then the person doesn't thank them. They should thank them several times. Thank them when they say they got something for them. Thank them when they get the thing. Send pictures of them using it. You know, have them involved. And I know that a gift is a gift, and it does not come with strings. But even if you aren't a good enough person to think, yes, I should thank people because they did something for me and went out of their way, even if you're selfish, even if you just want stuff, you should still thank people because you'll get more stuff. You know, we've decided like we're not going to give this person anything else ever. So it's nice to be nice. I guess I'm just appalled at how people just don't have human decency. And I would say it's these kids today, but I know adults like this too. I know people of all ages from, you know, and I don't expect it from like a 4-year-old. If I give a 4-year-old something, it's nice if he says yes, but I'm not expecting a, you know, written glowing letter. I'm not expecting them to yet know that. But someone at 17 or 18, they should know that. And yeah, it's just kind of sad that that's the world we live in. But really, you know, be the change you want to see in the world. Be polite to people. Be polite to people and and be good to people and thank people. And don't do business with people who don't act like that. Don't interact with them. Don't reward them, you know? Entitled people shouldn't get things when you have a choice. So, yeah. What else we got? So I guess the thing about borders is, you know, I believe there shouldn't be borders, but I'm not going to actively say, it's horrible that they're cracking down on borders. I'm not going to say that because when you say that, you're basically saying, I want a bunch of freeloaders to move here and vote Democrat and vote to take away my guns and my free speech and my right. You know, I'm not even going to say if I have guns. If I had to take away your guns, take away your money, you know, that's what people who are given things free by the government reward the government by voting for more government. So, yeah, everything's about, you know, it's kind of funny. Like Democrats bring children to the House floor. Like, think of the children. We'll bring the children. These are the children you're harming. But, you know, Democrats under Obama were bombing children in the Middle East. You know, it's ridiculous. And conservatives who think, bomb the Middle East back to the Stone Age. First of all, conservatives usually love Israel for some reason. And Israel's in the Middle East. So you can't nuke. You cannot nuke Syria without mostly destroying your beloved Israel. But also, you know, a lot of conservatives are anti-abortion, but when you bomb a wedding party, you're killing unborn children. There's always pregnant women at a wedding because it's the whole family. And, you know, in a large family, extended family, somebody's always pregnant. That's just statistics of life. So if you don't believe in killing unborn children, don't say, we should bomb them back. You know, don't say things like, you want to make an omelet, you got to kill a few eggs. You got to break a few eggs. Like, that's kind of the attitude. Like, you know, and also when you blow up a wedding party and kill 50 people, you're creating like 10 new terrorists who are willing to die to destroy everything you believe in. So I'm not saying that people who do horrible things should go unpunished, but I'm saying that the current technique used by the U.S. government and other governments is only a self-perpetuating mess. And really, follow the money. You know, governments do not want to eradicate terrorism. They need an enemy. And, you know, if they're doing things that create more enemies by blowing up 50 people to get one guy, well, follow the money. They're trying to stay needed. They're trying to stay wanted. They're trying to stay employed and have unlimited black budgets to do what they want with. So let's see, what else we got? I started a t-shirt company. You should check it out. It's called wormshirts.com. Worm, like, you know, the things you use for fish and bait, and shirts, like t-shirts. Wormshirts.com. It actually forwards to an Amazon page, but it's got a lot of cool things on there that I made that you might like. Let's see what we got. We got a Freedom Fiend shirt. Worm shirts. There's so many, I can't remember them all. And I add new ones like every few days. I just think, hey, that'd make a good shirt. Like, let's see. Am I being detained? Bipcot, no government license. A shirt that says, whoever dies with their art on the most hard drives wins. A shirt that says, anyone over 5 foot 5 inches is a weed. That's one of our best sellers. Let's see. One of those shirts that looks like the I voted button, but it says I farted. One that's got a plump kitty cat on it. It says, I'm not fat. I'm prepping for the apocalypse. One that says, I came, I saw, I composted, for those organic farmers out there. Let's see. Got one that says, get off me, you soul-wasting statist. Are you, what is it, you statist? Get off me, you state-worshipping soul mosquito. It's got a mosquito on it. Let's see. Got some more. Oh, thoughts and prayers, but it's spelled thoughts, T-H-O-T-S. Google it, people. Got one. Yeah, whole bunch of good stuff. So check that out, wormshirts.com, and research computer encryption. Use it. Encourage people to use it. Here's the thing, is people that don't have anything to hide need to use it, because otherwise it looks like if you have something to hide, you're using it, you know, and it's really, that's not the case. Like, actually, one of the best encryption tools ever, Tor, was created. Tor, the thing that Silk Road was run on, was created by the U.S. Navy to give to dissidents in third world countries where the U.S. is trying to create a revolution so they can install their own puppet leaders, their own compliant leaders. You know, for all people say of, I love democracy, that's why I love voting. Well, the people you vote for, whether they're on the left or the right, are enabling the shadow government, like the CIA, to do things like assassinate democratically elected leaders in other countries. So democracy doesn't bring democracy. Democracy is a bad idea. And people are appalled by that. They're like, oh, you're not American. Democracy, a gang rape is democracy. Democracy is 51% of the people deciding they can kill 49% of the people. You know, it's, and people are appalled when I say a gang rape is democracy, because they think it's a rape joke. They think I'm glamorizing rape. They think I'm denigrating their sacred parchments. But it is. It's a bunch of people voting that they can aggress on someone else. And that's what democracy is. And people say things like, well, democracy is, it's not perfect, but it's the best system we have. Well, it's not the best system we could have. I don't even necessarily know what the replacement is. But as long as you're saying, well, we got to keep what we got because it can't get any better. I mean, there's a cartoon to that. It's like some Mayans or Incans throwing a virgin into a volcano and saying, well, it's not perfect, but it's the best system there is, which was true at the time for them. You know, as long as you believe that things can't get better, they cannot get better. They won't. You know, it's like people who said, well, slavery is horrible, but how are you going to pick the cotton? You know, well, technology took care of a lot of that. So just don't do things. I would implore you to consider the possibility of, for the next week, look at the things that come out of your mouth when you're talking about politics, and look at whether you're consistent. Like if you say, the government shouldn't be able to tax my health care, whatever. Like, do you believe that about people that do things you don't like? Yeah, so look for consistency in what you do and really honestly examine it. And then B, look for things that you, or with other people, look and see if they're consistent. And look with you and other people to see if you say things that are immoral. And by immoral, I mean things where you laugh at the pain of others, of people that don't deserve it. Like a really good example is, you know, laughing when the police kick in the door of the guy who takes drugs in your town. Like the guy might be a bad neighbor, but he's probably stupid. He probably has loud people coming and going at all hours at night. But those are the ones that always get busted. But, you know, the people that are quiet about it, keep to themselves, don't bring crime to the neighborhood, you know, real crime. When the cops kick in his door, see who laughs, see who says, well, he should have obeyed the law, and think about, and then substitute guns for drugs. And think about the fact that pretty soon some drugs are going to be legal, and those unemployed drug cops aren't going to go away. They're going to become gun cops. They're going to become the people that kick in your door for having seven rounds in your mag in a 6-round state, you know, when the laws change. So don't encourage the Borg. Don't encourage unnecessary and immoral violence. I mean, violence is moral if it's in self-defense, but it's not self-defense to kick in someone's doors and stop them from doing free trade, you know? If you believe in free trade, don't try to stop other people from doing free trade. In closing, I would say just, you know, try to be an ethical person and try to look at things you do, and especially things that other people do, and especially things that you do, and try to be consistent and try to be moral. And that's it. Have a great week. Worms.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.